I am Paul Kress with my wife Rita, preparing to interview Everett Gee Jackson on this Tuesday, February 3rd, 1981, in his home here in San Diego. Mr. Jackson, you were one of the original members of a group of San Diego artists which formed in 1929 and called themselves the Contemporary Artists of San Diego.
As a matter of fact, they at first called themselves the Associated Artists of San Diego.
Oh, is that right?
And when they discovered that there was a commercial art organization here by that name, it's then that they changed their name to the Contemporary Artists of San Diego.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's interesting because my wife and I have a collection of we only have one of your paintings, but we've got a number by Fries and Riefel and Torrey.
Being interviewed now?
Yes.
The
first question I would like to ask is, the one that was closest to you in age in this group was Donald Hoard.
That's right.
His art, though in a different medium, seemed closest to yours. Was this coincidence, or did you discuss your appreciations?
Well, Donald was about my age, and we became very close friends. And I spent many hours in his studio with him, where he made his sculpture.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, Donald had also made a trip down to Mexico.
Yeah.
And of course, I came here from Mexico, having been in Mexico 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So we had a lot in common, I suppose.
Yeah, it seems to show up in both your art and his art that you...
I don't know that he would agree to that now, since I'm painting these crazy blockheads.
Well, who knows? Maybe if he was still around, he would be doing the same thing.
He probably would.
Charles Fries was in San Diego from before the turn of the century and was the oldest of the group.
Yes.
What are your recollections of him?
I wish I could read you what I wrote about him.
Sure.
Let's see if I can find that. I've got them all here. I just wrote down here exactly the way I remembered them, and I deliberately didn't do any research to get information that I didn't already have in my head.
Yeah. Well, that's what we want, you know, is we want to try to get stuff that never got written down concerning.
Yeah. Here's what I wrote about Charles Fries. This artist was a small man with a quiet personality. I believe he came to identify himself with the desert. He would go out into the desert, you know, and paint.
That was
his main thing he seemed most like to do. And I'm sure, this is what I wrote, I'm sure he never had the slightest urge to impose his ideas upon nature.
Yeah.
All he wanted was to show in his paintings what he actually found there. Beautiful, soft harmonies of color and a somewhat melancholy mood, deeply felt. He managed to make a living with his painting, which to me is still remarkable.
Yeah.
That's all I wrote about Fries.
Yeah.
He was a charming old fellow. He was much older than Donald and myself.
Yeah, he was a... He really did love to go out into the desert and out into the mountains. I've read there was a writer that wrote a kind of a haphazard biography on him, and he mentioned some of these things, how he would go off for weeks at a time to the desert, and he also went down into Mexico, down in Baja.
He'd
go down there and paint down there, and mentioned some of his experiences. Like he used to oftentimes go on his bicycle, and he'd ride for 60, 70 miles. On his bicycle, and with his stuff packed on his back, and he'd go out and paint.
He'd bring a tent with him, too, a little tent.
He did what?
Bring a tent with him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew him very well. I didn't really know him as well as I knew, for instance, Charles Rifle.
Yeah.
Charles was a very close friend of ours.
Well, one of the things, too, that about Fries is that he was able to actually eck out a living in those days with his with his art,
well,
which was very
yeah,
which was very difficult apparently to do then.
That's right.
Well, also Maurice Braun received more national recognition during his time than apparently any of the rest of the group.
Well,
what can you tell us about him?
I wouldn't be sure about that. I think Rifle probably received as wide recognition as Maurice Braun did.
Yeah.
Rifle came here from Connecticut.
Yeah.
And I think he won more prizes than any member of the group, including Maurice Braun.
Yeah.
I would say.
Maurice Braun seemed to have a period, I guess, in the before the Depression, where he was evidently was selling a considerable number of his paintings. And
you know how he looked. I guess you've probably seen pictures of him.
Yeah, I don't know about his size.
Short, pointed beard.
Was he a small man, or was
he? He was a middle-sized man, slightly small. I wrote here that Maurice Braun was a pleasant person, but entirely different from Charles Rifle. While Charles Rifle was exuberant, Braun possessed a quiet, almost serene personality. In fact, he was a devout believer in the theosophical religion. Did you know that?
Yes, yes, I'd read that somewhere.
He had a universal point of view toward life, and perhaps I said that might explain these restful effect in his paintings.
Yeah.
I said here that I was not at all impressed with his work when I first came here. But as time went on, after a number of years, I came to see the quality in it, and I like it. I like some of his things very much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A young person doesn't have a very wide appreciation, I think.
Yeah. We've seen a number of his paintings, and he also seemed to be enchanted with Southern California in particular, the landscape. Yeah, and I guess he did some paintings up in Colorado, up around Colorado, because.
And then he painted some back east, maybe in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Because Charles Rifle came from Connecticut. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that was the next one I was going to ask you about, is Charles Rifle. And I'd put down here won more awards for his art than any of the rest of this group. Yet today is known by only a small group of San Diego art lovers. What
Charles
would be
Rifle,
your comments
you
on Rifle? Yes.
What do I know about him?
Yeah, he did win a tremendous number of awards, and yet... I asked people about Charles Rifle, and nobody seems to, I mean, they seem to have all forgotten him. And yet, when you go to, one of the Who's Who books on art and so on, the list on Rifle is extraordinary.
That's amazing, isn't it? I know lots of people know who Braun was.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to remember Charles. But I thought, now here's what I wrote here. Charles Rifle's most noticeable characteristic was his happy enthusiasm.
Yeah.
He definitely had what René Dubos would call the God within. He was one of the most enthusiastic persons you can imagine. Whenever you'd run into Charlie Rifle, he immediately lifted your spirits and made you think you were living in a really terrific world.
Yeah.
That's the way he was.
Yeah,
that's a nice quality.
Yeah. He and his wife and my wife and I, Irene and I, at times we would take trips together down into Baja California.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I remember once, he and I set up our easel side by side in a little Mexican village overlooking Laguna Salada Desert. And we painted the same scene. I was standing right, sitting right next to him. And I remember being so impressed about how he worked. He didn't have this, he didn't hesitate 1 minute. He knew exactly what he was doing, and I had to look at it. And when our paintings were done, he really had a beautiful little painting of the rocks and so forth overlooking the desert, and I thought mine looked awful. And I didn't even keep it. But years later, I went out to the home of Mrs. Harold Starkey in Chula Vista, and there that painting was hanging in her room.
Oh, was that right?
And actually, next to it hung a painting of mine, but it wasn't that one that I'd painted that day. Yeah. I was awfully pleased, always pleased to see my painting hanging next to Rifle's.
Yeah.
I said something about Rifle here that might surprise you. If I can find it. Now let's see. Must have been right up at the front.
Maybe it's in there.
Oh well, I was telling here why Charles Rifle was my favorite painter in the whole group.
Well, he is ours too.
Yeah, I said. Can't seem to find it. Yeah, here it is. I said, of all the painters in the group, my favorite from the very beginning was Mr. Charles Rifle. He soon became a good friend of mine, but that is not the reason why I liked his work best. Although his subject matter was very different, and I think this may surprise you, although his subject matter was very different from that of the Mexican painters, and although he worked in the impressionistic idiom, he nevertheless had something in common with the Mexican painter Jose Clemente Orozco, whom I had known in Mexico City. Both Rifle and Orozco expressed themselves primarily in kinesthetic terms. Their paintings are full of powerful effects of movement. And in any case, he was of all the painters, he was my favorite.
Yeah.
And as I told you before, when I first came here, I couldn't see much in brawn, but years later I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have, I think we've got 7 paintings by Charles Rifle.
Oh, do you really?
And we like him very much too. And that statement you made there, there seems to be a certain movement in his.
Everything's moving.
It's moving.
That's right.
It's
very flowing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Very, very different. You can never miss one of his paintings.
No, that's right.
The minute you see him, we bought one in the gallery down in La Jolla. We'd heard there was one in there, and here this gallery is just full of paintings, and they were mostly for sale. And the minute we walked in the place, we looked away in the back wall, and we spotted his painting among all the rest of them.
He was his work was so popular when he was painting in those days that it's surprising to me that people don't know about him now.
Yeah, it is to
me. Here's something else I said. He was also very generous. One day he came to look at a painting I had just completed in a car garage, which was my studio at that time. When he saw the painting, he exclaimed, "You must send it to the San Francisco Art Association's annual exhibition of American painting." The next day he even brought a frame for the painting and helped me crate it for shipment to the exhibition. To my great surprise, the painting not only was accepted by the jury, but also won the first prize, the Ann Bremmer Prize. And then along with $300. That meant a lot to us in those days, I tell you. That was in 1929.
Yeah.
I never would have sent that painting to the San Francisco exhibition had it not been for Charles Rifle.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of sending it. And I have often thought that the publicity it received helped me get the teaching job at San Diego State, where I stayed for 33 years.
Yeah, that's
Wasn't that something?
Yeah.
Chain of events.
I might tell you too, that at that time, as I said, that $300 really came in handy. I suddenly found that I had to have an operation on my nose. A baseball hit me in the nose when I was a kid. And so the doctor operated on my nose and straightened it out inside. And he said he would like to take a painting for his fee. And so I gave him that painting. I won the first prize in San Francisco Art Association. I don't know what has ever become of that painting.
Yeah.
But
that,
anyway,
that would be a nice.
Got it.
Do you remember what the subject was?
Yes, so I had just come up from Mexico, from southern Mexico, in the state of Chiapas and Oaxaca, and the name of the painting was Zapotecas, and that's an Indian name of a name of the Indians who live around in southern state of Oaxaca, and it showed a man. An Indian man and his wife and their child, a newborn child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it was. I could show you, I have reproductions of it, because it was reproduced in lots of places. But I don't know where it is now. Mm-hmm. The doctor who worked on my nose is long since dead.
Yeah. Another one of the group was Leslie Lee, and you mentioned before our interview here, seems to have been somewhat of an enigma, and very little of his work of art seemed to be available. Could you shed any light on this artist?
Yes, I could, because I knew him very well. I always thought he was English, but actually I later learned that he was born in England, and at an early age moved to this country, to Connecticut, I believe. Let's see what I have on him. Leslie Lee, another person that I knew very well was Otto Schneider, of course. Do you have a painting of his?
No, we don't have any of his.
You don't?
No. That's surprising, too, because he painted here for quite a while.
Leslie W. Lee. This artist was a truly charming person with a twinkle in his blue eyes. He really had it.
Yeah.
He may have been English, as I say, I now know he was born in England, but he always seemed to me he had sort of an English manner. The last time I saw him, he was an old man. He had lost his wife. When we parted, after a short talk on the street, he said to me, "Cheerio." I believe he died shortly thereafter. I understand that Mr. Lee had lived both in Spain and Mexico City. Actually, he had been in all the Latin American countries.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Did he paint? Latin American scenes, or do you recall that?
Let's see what I did with page 7. He lived for a while in Mexico City, where he was a successful portrait painter. In San Diego, his subject matter was the Indians of the Southwest. Have you seen any of those?
No, I haven't. I think I've only seen one example.
The Museum of Man has some of The Museum of Man has some of his work.
Oh.
His wife wrote books for children about the Indians, and Mr. Lee illustrated the books for his wife. For his wife, her name was Millicent.
Mm-hmm.
They built a large four-story house in pure Spanish style overlooking Mission Valley, and another home, equally interesting, out in Dehesa. Mr. Lee also made etchings, printing them on a press in the northwest corner of his large studio, right over there. I said, printer's ink can still be seen on the floor where the printing press stood. Eventually, they began traveling to Latin American countries. They gave up their city home to the Government Home Loan Association, and my wife and I had the good fortune to acquire it. We have lived in it now for 40 years. Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Lee's spirits, I wrote here, seem still to linger in this in our house.
That's nice.
Yeah. But it is a beautiful, beautiful.
The Lees founded an Indian society in San Diego, which met regularly in Mr. Lee's large studio, which is this one, of course. They would often invite Indians, Navajos and other tribes, to visit them and attend the Indian Society meetings. I suspect the Indians barbecued their meat out of doors. All around the 4-acre property around the house, I'm constantly digging up cow bones as I work in my garden. That's the truth. Mr. Lee once told me he spent $500 antiquing the outside of this house. He said he even introduced spiders on the walls. He was the most competent figure painter, who often exhibited his paintings in the Grand Central Galleries of New York, an organization to which he belonged. I must say that whenever my wife has told me that we should have this big house painted, I remind her that Mr. Lee spent $500 antiquing it. That saved me money.
Leslie Lee manage, did he make his living by his art, or was he, did he have other means?
Well, you know, as I told you, he made illustrations for his wife's children's
mm-hmm.
books.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have brought him in some money. But I understood, and I think all of the members of our group understood, that Mr. Lee had married a wealthy woman.
Yeah,
that's always nice.
Yeah, that would help.
But I feel sure that the Museum of Man owns a number of his paintings of Indians.
I'd like to see them.
You ever want to see them?
Yeah, I'd like to see them too, because I think I've only seen one by him, mm-hmm. and I would like to see.
They're very conservative.
More. Yeah.
When I came to San Diego from Mexico, having lived there several years and having been influenced, I imagine, by the Mexican painters, I soon discovered that my painting was considered here to be very radical, very way out.
Yeah.
Of course, I've become a long old hat since then.
Yeah. I've seen in the folder on you there at the San Diego Museum of Art Library some of your earlier paintings, and one of them was of a group of colored farm pickers, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's one of those early paintings.
Yes. It wasn't that one, but I think it was very similar to that.
There's another one over there. Big one.
Yeah. No, this was...
And that painting over in the corner, you can't see it very well, but many years ago, in one of San Diego Fine Arts Gallery's annual exhibitions, Don Howard won the first prize for his sculpture, and I won the second for that.
Oh,
is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What could you tell us about James Tank Porter? Did you know him very well?
Yes, I knew him quite well. And also I knew Elliot Torrey.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one of his paintings?
Yes.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mr. Porter was a rather small, frail person. And he was incidentally the chairman of our organization.
Yeah.
He was a sculptor, of course, you know, working in clay and bronze, whereas Donald Howard, of course, worked in wood mainly, wood and stone. I think he may have been more, I used to think he had more formal education than the rest of us. He was a mathematician. And since I had majored in mathematics in college, we often talked together about that discipline. He was a very gentle and kind person, almost shy. I believe I remember that he once told me he had worked in sculpture with Gutzon Borglum, the artist who carved the large heads on a mountain in the Black Hills of Dakota. That's about it.
Yeah.
He was almost a shy person.
No.
And I don't think he was in too good a health.
I sleep.
Yeah.
I'm Rita Chris. My husband Paul Chris.
One of the, I interviewed his daughter.
His daughter?
Yeah.
I remember he had a little blonde
yeah,
daughter.
Yeah, and she, I was hoping that she would be able to tell me some things about the contemporary artists as well, but she said she really didn't know too much about them. Says every once in a while she would meet one of them, and as far as any real detail, she couldn't recollect too much, because I guess she was quite a small girl
when that organization was here. She was a very small girl.
Yeah.
I remember going out to his studio, I think it was in La Mesa,
mm-hmm.
and I saw that pretty little blonde girl, she's about this high, playing around
yeah.
the studio.
Yeah, they have a beautiful, big, old home. I think it's must be 1880 or 1890
mm-hmm.
home out there in La Mesa. That
That's
guess.
About all I can tell you. I can almost, could almost draw his picture. I can see him so clearly in my
yeah.
mind's eye now. But
How about Alfred Mitchell? You know, Mrs. Mitchell is still alive.
Yes,
she's
I'm
living
glad to hear she is.
I think on 31st Street.
Well, what do you
San
know?
Diego.
Well, then I won't say I'm the last survivor of the,
you're the last
contemporary artist.
Artist
of San Diego. That Mrs. Mitchell is still alive.
Well,
yeah, but she wasn't. She wasn't.
Yeah.
They didn't have women.
No, that's right, but they didn't used to have women in the aardvarks. Lately, when I paid my dues, they sent me a word that said I only paid half.
That's a zoo.
That's a zoo.
Oh, is it?
It's a zoo thing.
How about a glass of sherry?
Oh, that sounds nice.
I've turned the heat down. I think it's probably hot here. This is
it
a
is.
Let's see, which one were you asking me about?
Alfred Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, Alfred Mitchell. Charles Rees, we talked about him. Leon Bonnet, you know about him?
Yes, I've got him listed too.
His son is in the stereo.
Oh, he does?
I can get you their telephone if you'd like it.
Thank you.
Mr. Mitchell, Alfred Mitchell, was the Secretary of Treasury of the Contemporary Artists of San Diego. He kept the money. He was the last of the group to die years ago, leaving me as the last survivor. He painted pictures of scenes around this county, both large and small pictures. His paintings are quite realistic, even though he was a close student of the modern trends in art. He used to come out to college and use my files, and he was seemed to be fascinated with Picasso and Matisse and all those wild painters, but he went on painting his very realistic pictures just the same. Mr. Mitchell brushed his hair straight backward, forming a fairly high, wavy surface which about paralleled his long nose. He also was able to make a living by selling his pictures. When the art organization disbanded after many years, Mr. Mitchell announced that some money was left in the treasury. It was decided that we would have a dinner with that money in a downtown restaurant. All the members were present at that dinner. Only Donald Hoard and I were able to read the menu, which we did for the other members, older members of the group. I'll never forget that. they passed the menu to us, and we would all sit around this big table. Mm-hmm. And Fries would say, look at it, and he'd say, Charles, can you read that? And he'd pass it all around until he got to Donald and me. And we read out loud what they had to offer.
Their arms weren't long enough.
Yeah. Mitchell was a nice fellow.
I think he worked, I know he did. He worked teaching art at, I think, adult classes at night,
probably,
I guess.
Did.
Yeah.
Last time I remember seeing him was he was really quite old and feeble.
Yeah.
And perhaps senile, as people become when they get my age.
Yeah.
And I remember he said to me, we can be very helpful to each other. And I thought at the time, perhaps we could.
Yeah.
I never forget that.